If you say something with confidence, then you can't be wrong.
I don't even know.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Time to head on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Our good buddy Tim May, Leonard Monroe, and right here on the fan, join us. And this one's right in your wheelhouse, buddy. We were looking at this list of 25 most dominant football teams in college football in the last 50 years. You've seen a lot of these teams in person, and you certainly have observed all of them during the job that you did. So when I put that to you, who are the most dominant college football teams you've seen? Not necessarily just Buckeyes, although if they are, they can be. But who are the answers to that question for you, sir?
I think what the 70-71, whatever it was, Nebraska team fits in there, right, in that 50-year mark?
Yep.
A couple of those Oklahoma teams were unstoppable. A couple of Bear Bryant's 1970 in the 70s, mid-70s teams were as good as it gets. It's just the way they played, the precision they played with, and how they knocked you off your ass. I shouldn't have said that out loud. Sorry.
That's fine.
I really think, you know, some of those mid-70s Ohio State teams, they stubbed their toe one way or the other. But, oh, my goodness, you know, John Hicks and Arch Griffin and then, you know, the linebackers, you know, all the guys they had, Gretschar and all those guys were an unbelievable team. I'm going right on down the line. I'm coming up through, but I'll make it quick. I want to tell you something. I think the 2015 Ohio State team, it still got beat, right? Had the ridiculous upset. But you look at the talent on that team, it's ridiculous. And you look at the 2002 National Championship game, both of those teams, the talent they had on there on any given day, you know, you think they could, especially Ohio State, really – you know, kind of got his act together, and I had some close calls, but that was a hell of a team from a talent-laden standpoint, you know, when you name all the guys that were on that team, not the least of whom was Will Smith, sort of a forgotten guy in a lot of people's minds, Darian Scott and that defensive line they had. But and then that Miami team, who am I leaving out? I mean, you can name a bunch of them. I think Clemson a few years ago when they had Deshaun Watson and stuff, that was a hell of a team. And you know, there's a couple of the Alabama teams over the last 8-10 years you could put on that list. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the hard thing, and James and I were having this, like, for me, I immediately wrote down 1995 Nebraska in my mind's eye, that team was the most dominant team that I've ever seen in my life. And they were number one on this list as well. I think the interesting thing, and there's some recent teams. You mentioned Alabama. You know, 18 Clemson was pretty dang dominant. 19 LSU is really dominant. For my money, the most dominant, and I think dominant's the key because most talented, 05, 15, there's a lot that were really talented. But in terms of the ones that I see, the most dominant was 19 Ohio State, Tim.
Yeah. I mean, up until – you know, if the referees hadn't taken away from them, they had a shot to play LSU for the championship. I mean, that was going to be a hell of a game, by the way, because that LSU team was a team of the century for LSU, the way I look at it, even though they just had some damn good teams. But you're exactly right. And this is what's interesting about Ohio State, though. I'm not, you know, I help cover Ohio State. I got a podcast about it and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, the recruiting class they've got coming in 21 – based on in top of the one they got this past year and stuff. I mean, we're talking about the true golden age right now. I mean, we're you know, when you have your show 15 years from now, and I'm listening from high above, I hope I'm not, but you're going to be, I mean, you know, just when you think you've seen it all, I think there's something really coming in the next couple of years with Ohio State football. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, but I just keep thinking, I had Urban Meyer on my podcast this week. He said a lot of interesting things, and I didn't bring this up with him, but I'm going to bring it up next time I got him on. I think that 2015 team, man, that was a hell of a team. And the fact that he didn't get to go to the playoffs, it was kind of their own problem, but it was also – you know, maybe people looking at the qualifications the wrong way, but that was a hell of a football team. And, you know, like you said, but from a dominant standpoint, last year, I mean, how could you top last year from an Ohio State perspective? I mean, that team, I mean, it even sort of won the game, the only game it lost, if you really look at it right.
Yeah, Tim, I think we're going to look at last year's team, gosh, a couple of years from now, and you're going to say, man, Justin Fields was the quarterback. You know, he was the number two overall pick or number one overall pick, whatever it is, right? And, you can go down mm-hmm. to Jeffrey Okuda, Chase Young, and we're going to look at draft picks. Where will Olave go? You know, and we're going to look at just the domination and the talent on that team and say mm-hmm. and take out the refs. I mean, goodness, if you go down to the red zone and have four trips with touchdowns instead of field goals, you're saying to yourself, man, they could have blown out Clemson. I think there was one drive where you're like, if they put it in the end zone, Clemson literally might just tap out. And then that's a dominant game. And who knows, versus LSU, you could have an undefeated season and an absolute star-studded game against LSU. That's the Ohio State team. What other teams from Ohio State do you think, or maybe, I don't know if most dominant, but the 15 stands out. We were talking about 98. But for me, the four teams I play with, it's tough because the 2006 team was maybe the most dominant through the regular season. Really not until the Michigan game did we really feel – after we beat Texas, we kind of skated through until that Michigan game. The way it ends, obviously, is bad. But 05 was more talented, in my opinion, and we lost twice, you know. And still should have beat that Texas team at home. So what other teams come to mind to you when you say, gosh, that team maybe lost one or two games, but they were super talented.
Just that dynamic you just talked of. The 95 team should have, like, you know, it lost that game to Michigan. It should have, like, you know, had the Heisman Trophy winner, had all those draft picks. Then 96 comes back, and it was, in my opinion, I think most people agree, it was the better team. I mean, you know, when you really look at it, but the 95 team was the most talented. I'm talking about top to bottom, you know, starting lineups. Yeah. But all, you know, the 95, 96, 97, 98 teams were about as good a run as you're ever going to see from the standpoint of just talented teams that one way or another stubbed their toe. But you're right about, you know, 2002, you know, they barely got by. They played the first overtime game in Ohio State football history, you know, against Illinois, and then they had to do it again in the national championship game. So is that a dominant team, or is that just a team that made plays when it had to? That's what that team was. That's what you guys, you know, in 06, you know. That was just a ridiculous team. But you think about the 05 team and just how talent-laden it was, and all those linebackers, et cetera. Then who knew that this Swamp Rat from Minnesota was going to step in there and just become that that mad dog linebacker, for Ohio State in 06. And, you know, we all remember that game at Texas, man. That was just a ridiculous, eye-opening game, I think, for everybody around the country. So, yeah, I mean, but you know, I think about those mid-70s teams, man, that just, you know, Levi Jackson going down the sideline against them at Michigan State, or that, you know, what was that, 74? That's, you know, that's his talented a football team as, you know, as Ohio State's ever had. I'm talking about putting it on the same level with some of these others. And so, yeah, I'm getting exhausted even thinking about it.
Yeah, it's a fun conversation to have. And it's, you know, I think Ohio State is a school that the most dominant, Tim, talented teams aren't necessarily the ones that win it.
Right.
They're not. And you think about, you mentioned 15, but that was a sluggish year. I mean, that was a team without much of an identity. It was awkward what Urban did with the quarterbacks that year. They had so much talent, but that year was sluggish. Like, they weren't annihilating people that year. But conversely, you go to – you, and then, of course, loses to Michigan State at home. Conversely, and I didn't – you covered this team, so I want to ask you about this team specifically, because if I could pick one Ohio State loss to have back and see the results and know that I would have won a national title, it's 98. Because 98 mm-hmm. annihilates everybody it plays. There's not a close game on the schedule, Tim. Nobody plays them close. They lose at home to mm-hmm. Michigan State. The national championship game that year was Tennessee against FSU. FSU played with a third-string quarterback. Tennessee barely won the game with T. Martin. That Ohio State team, in my estimation, wipes the floor with that Tennessee team, based on what I remember of those teams. You covered that Ohio State team. Do I have that right?
Yeah, you got that right, in my opinion. I mean, that was when they basically sold out, so to speak, to putting the ball in the air and all that kind of stuff. It was just a vaunted passing attack with Joe Germain and then David Boston and D. Miller and all those guys. And then defensively, you know, there were some war daddies on that defense, not the least of whom, was Catchum Warrior and those guys. But you're right. I mean, to me, and you just brought to mind what I've always thought about it. It's the team after some of those. Now, not that was nothing to write home about, obviously. But it's usually the team you don't expect, where you've got some rising, like in 2014, you've got these rising sophomores or second or third year players that suddenly just hit their stride, and what a talented group, and they carry you. And I think there's propensity for any team that's coming back, and everybody's telling them how good they are, to have a letdown in the sense of there's going to be one or two games where they just roll their helmet out there and think the other team is going to just bow down. And we all know that Michigan State game, Ohio State was up, 21-6 or whatever it was, after Damon Moore, dove into the end zone, they got that penalty, on that interception return. But they never should have lost that game. But all of a sudden, you got a Michigan State led by Nick Saban, and suddenly they see that you've got a 5'9" cornerback covering a 6'5" receiver. Hey, let's start throwing to that guy,
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And that's what. But it is bizarre to me how there's that one slip up, like you just pointed out. And I think a lot of it has to do with, we're the biggest dog on the block, man. Look out.
Yeah, it is. It's
I didn't complete the bad word.
We're quick on it. You're safe. You're safe, right, buddy. Right. Appreciate your time on and the perspective, my friend, as always, our good buddy Tim May. Thanks, pal.
I always enjoy being on with you guys. I think there will be football this fall, by the way.
Yeah, we think so too. We're trying to avoid the COVID for an hour, my friend. We're trying to avoid it.
Oh, I got
a little
you, man.
Fun.
Well, put your mask back on. I'll see you outside. See you, buddy.
All right, very good.